You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
And before we get to our guests, just a reminder for listeners and new listeners who may have found Cannabis Health Radio, we want to say that Cannabis Health Radio rests with you, the listener. If we can get enough listeners making donations, then we can survive. If not, then Corey and I will reluctantly be forced to shut down this podcast. As mentioned before, we've made a substantial financial contribution to the equipment, the website, and our time, and we've only got a sparse return. Corey and I do this because we love bringing these stories to you. They're very inspirational. They're stories of people who successfully use cannabis to clear a fatal disease or used it to get rid of the pain of an ailment they have. Now, with governments around the world slowly legalizing medical marijuana, more and more people are looking at this plant for their health. We view our podcast as an educational tool for them to learn what others have done. But we can't do it without your help. Some donations have trickled in, but certainly not enough to sustain us so far. Our urgent plea is for listeners to go to our website, cannabishealthradio.com, go to the donate page, and make a pledge, either a one-time donation or a monthly contribution. We can't continue on this journey without your help, so make a contribution today. Our guest today was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, follicular lymphoma, and bone cancer. That was 11 years ago this week, and she's here to tell her remarkable story. And joining us from Kentucky is Deb Cole. Deb, good of you to do this. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about the day 11 years ago when you went to the doctor and you were diagnosed.
Well, it was kind of odd. It was like I actually had just been sober for 6 months, and I was going in for a checkup, and I found a lump under my arm. I wasn't feeling sick at all, and then I found a lot of little BBs in my neck, and I went in, and they said, well, they run some tests, whatnot, and it was stage 4 follicular lymphoma. And I didn't even know what that was. So and they told me it was cancer, and they suggested chemo. And I had to really think about it because I'd known people that had had chemo, and it didn't go real well. And I didn't know if I wanted to put anybody through that or not. So I thought about it, and they convinced me, long story short, they talked me into it. I did 6 treatments, but in the meantime, I was using cannabis, smoking it. I wasn't educated at all on the oil or ingesting it, anything. And I just knew it was good for nausea, you know, they said, mm-hmm. Which it really did help. I mean, I never got sick, you know, I never threw up like I had seen people do on it.
Deb, so, let me back up here just a second. The doctors diagnosed you with stage 4 cancer, follicular lymphoma. Exactly what is that?
Well, it attacks your lymph nodes and your immune system. They can't really. It's kind of like a non-Hodgkin's
lymphoma.
Lymphoma. And it's kind of like they related it to, as far as I know, to leukemia type thing, because it attacks your immune system and your lymph nodes. And they're like, well, there's nothing we can remove. We can't take your lymph nodes out. You got over 600 of them. So I did 6 chemo treatments, and to be honest, I don't even know what type chemo it was.
How were you feeling prior to going to the doctor?
I was feeling great.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling sick at all. I mean, I'd had times that maybe I was a little under the weather, but, you know, it didn't – it was just like a nothing serious, you know what I mean? And I didn't feel like I was going to die for crying out loud, because they were like going, from all the, after they told me and I went home and I was looking and I looked it up and it looked like, you know, I was probably going to die in a couple of months. So, and they, it was 4 months before they started the chemo. So I think they thought I was going to die also. And before they even started the chemo, 4 months. And then 6 chemo treatments, and I went into remission. But I also changed my way of eating drastically.
How so?
Just, I started eating just live food, vegetables and fruit, and I stayed away from processed foods. I mean, I just kind of went, you know, and any kind of organic I could find at the time, because it wasn't like it is now with organic 11 years ago. I mean, it was in California, which that's where I'm just visiting right now. We're traveling, and it's since I've felt better this last 3 years, you know, this last year we've got out and did some traveling, and we've come all the way back east and to see some family and friends. And it's like your way of eating and your way of living has a lot to do with it. You know, a lot of people just, you can't just do one thing and think that's going to cure you or make you better. With the cannabis oil and or tincture, I do the tincture, and you've got to eat right too, you know.
So
you've got
to take care of yourself. Sorry to interrupt. When you said you changed your diet, was that a real drastic change for you?
It was.
So can you give us some examples of what you would eat before?
Okay. You know, McDonald's. you know, just too much fast food.
Yeah, sugar, probably lots of sugar too.
Lots of sugar. Yeah,
yeah.
I cut back on it. Not like I should. I still eat a little sugar when, you know, I have friends that are like, "You still eat sugar?" And it's like, I do. So,
but in moderation,
in moderation.
Deb, I want to ask you a question. Also, Corey can respond to this. When the doctor diagnoses you with cancer, just the word is terrifying. What does it do to you psychologically when the doctor tells you that you have cancer?
That's a good question, because it's devastating. I mean, you're sitting there because he said follicular lymphoma. Okay, I can't even spell that. I don't know what it even means. And he looked at me and said cancer. And when he did, it was like, I mean, your whole life, it's like after he said cancer, it was like I'd only seen his mouth move. I couldn't even hear what he was saying. It was like, yeah, it just kind of, your mind is like, okay, am I dying? I mean, I don't know, what does this mean? And then after they ran the test, they go, well, good news is it's a slow-moving cancer, but bad news is it's in stage 4, and we're sure it's in your bones. And I'm thinking, well, there was not even any good news in there, actually.
Yeah, where is the good news?
Yeah, right. And then the next thing you know, your regular doctor, you know, you're depressed now. Well, I wasn't really. I mean, I was upset. I was devastated. I wasn't depressed. I mean, I'd just been sober for 6 months. I wasn't sure what God had going on here, but it was like, you know, I'm just now seeing life, you know, with a clear head, and you're telling me I'm going to die. I don't think this is going to happen. The doctors are, you're depressed, so we need to, you know, we don't want your anxiety. And before you know it, you're medicated, okay? Because you're afraid, you got to believe it. I'm not a doctor. I never went to the doctor ever. I wasn't going a doctor going person, you know. If I got a cold, I got over it. If I got sick, I got over it. You know, unless I broke something like that, but you know, and it was horrible when I think back on how I just trusted somebody, you know, that just would continue to give me medication month after month. I would go in and go, I can't take this any longer. It just makes me feel crazy.
Well, I think, you know, Deb, I think, you know, when you're first told, you're really in a state of shock. And
you are.
The modality or the way they tend to treat you is you've got to have chemotherapy yesterday. Like, you've got to get on this right now. I spoke with a family last night for an hour, and it's such a tragic story. But when their mom was diagnosed, she started chemo the very same day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys haven't even had a chance to digest this and, you know, sit back and, you know, you've just been hit by a train. Like, you know, give the person time to collect their thoughts and decide what they want to do, you know, instead of being pushed into this. And we hear this a lot, particularly coming up from the States, where doctors are really, really assertive about you starting treatment and starting it right now.
Remember, Corey, that we talked to Betty in Washington State,
yeah.
And she lived 15 minutes from the doctor, and by the time she got home, there were 5 calls from various specialists encouraging her to immediately go on chemotherapy.
Yeah, chemotherapy and radiation. I think there was a call from a radiation center, and they continued to send her. They sent her registered letters, and they completely harassed her.
That's just, I mean, and I've been doing research afterwards, like this last 3 years when I like woke up. What happened is I just woke up one day and I was like over medicating, and I was already over medicated from the doctor. And it's like when I learned what happens when they tell somebody they have cancer, you're immediately worth at least $300,000.
$300,000 to start right out of the gate, and that's before you have your chemo and radiation. So, yeah, it's a big money business.
Yeah, and so they're just own people, and they don't give you a chance. They don't tell you what this could do to you. You know, I did have, when I went in to take my first chemo treatment, and I think about it now, then I didn't know that's what was happening. The person that was getting ready to give me my first treatment said, you know, you don't have to do this. And I said, yeah, I know. They gave me the choice. And you know, I don't know if that was somebody that was like there going, oh, God, I wish I could just tell you, you don't have to do this, you know. And if I would have known what I have learned 3 years ago, I would not have ever taken it. Because I just learned recently that odds are if you took any type of chemo, that more than likely within 10 to 15 years, that's more likely what's to take your life, not the cancer coming back.
Yeah.
Not, it's the chemo, the side effects. Plus, I was on 14 prescription drugs for 8 years.
14 prescription drugs?
14 prescription drugs, from painkillers to antidepressants to antipsychotics. I mean, you know, they convince you that you're depressed and you're, you know, and you're not going to be able to handle this.
Well, I mean, and then when you're on these, Deb, sorry again to interrupt, when you're on these, you're not thinking clearly anyway.
No, you're not.
So, you're very accepting about what they're telling you because, you know, you're completely snowed with the medication that you're on.
Right, that's what I was going to say when you said, you know, when they told me that, and instead of them starting my chemo, see, I had 4 months to think about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, do research that I didn't know what kind of research to do at the time because I was being medicated already.
Yeah.
Because the minute they told me, my regular doctor was like, bam, and I'm on antidepressants, all kinds of little stuff, and you must take these like they say.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the issues that I really have with physicians or people who are involved in the cancer industry is that you don't get told the full story. You don't get told the full list of side effects. I think there's something like 19 different chemotherapy drugs that practically come with a written guarantee that you will have leukemia within 2 years. That's not mentioned. Chemo brain isn't mentioned. Peripheral neuropathy, lymphedema, and on and on and on. And these are never mentioned to the cancer patient. And, you know, I'm speaking from my own experience. When I went in, I tried to nail this guy down 6 ways to Sunday and ask him what the long-term side effects were, and he would not give me a straight answer. I asked him several times.
See, and so even asking, they won't tell you.
Yeah.
Just like the chemo brain is real, and I would imagine there's people that die because of the chemo brain.
Tons. I have a friend who's works for a neurologist, and she said something like 70% of his patients are patients with chemo brain. And there's been a number of people who have passed away.
Because I was just in a fog. I almost got, I mean, I could have got killed. I mean, you would you just check out. When you're on chemo, it's like, you just like, all of a sudden you're not even in touch with anybody for maybe 15 minutes. And all of a sudden you pop back and you're like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah. You know, I think that people really don't, because of the state of mind they're in and they're so desperate to save their lives. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that chemotherapy is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, this is not going to be about you throwing up and losing your hair, and then it's going to all grow back and it might be curly. It's going to go on and on and on and get progressively worse.
Yeah, because I think that's why my health is not 100% like it should be now. I mean, I am so thankful for learning about the oil and the tinctures, because me, Rita, my partner, and I, we were just talking because of her, you know, a fibromyalgia. I mean, it's helping her fibromyalgia, her rheumatoid arthritis, and we were just talking, what would it be like if this last 3 years we've been off all of the prescription drugs, if we had not discovered this new life?
So when did you first...
We would be having this conversation.
When did you first run across cannabis as a medicine, you know, more so than just smoking it? Like, when did you come across tinctures and oil, et cetera?
Just a little over 3 years ago, actually. It was... I decided I could not do the medication any longer. It was, I just woke up one morning and I realized what was happening to my life. I've lost 50 pounds. None of my clothes fit me. I didn't even know they made size zero. And it was like, you know, this is crazy. This has got to be, you know, I thought the cancer was back. Okay. I thought, now I'm dying. It's back. I'm dying. It's been 7 years? 6 years, whatever, it's back. I'm dying. But I had some blood tests done, and they looked good, and it was the medication.
And you probably, you know, Deb, you probably were dying, just not of cancer.
It was killing me. It was killing me. I could not eat. I wasn't eating properly, and I just weaned my own self off of them, and it was not fun.
I don't imagine.
I started the research, to be honest with you, Corey, for Rita. They had her on chemo pills for her arthritis, and I couldn't even have a conversation with her after a few months of that. And I was like, what is going on? And I'd seen what the pill was, and I was like, well, this can't be happening. Yeah. So the pharmacist told us how to get off of it, and that's when I researched and when I've got to find out what to do. And I'd seen Rick Simpson, I'd seen the oil, and at the time we were living in a little travel trailer in Southern California in the desert, and I couldn't make the oil. I didn't want to blow myself up for one thing. I was coming off the medication, so I was having my days. I'll be honest with you. When the medication coming off of it can kill you if you're not careful.
Deb, tell me how difficult that was for you to get off the medication. What was life like then?
It was horrible. It was the most horrible. I thought I was losing my mind. I hallucinated. I begged to go put me away. Just take me somewhere, because I know they'll check me in. I'm losing it. I can't live like this. It was the most horrible thing in my life. It was horrible. It was more horrible than when they said, you got cancer. Okay? That's how horrible it was. But I guess, you know, I had angels, and that helped me through it. And then I found right into it is when I discovered how to make the tincture. When I say it does, you know, if you can't do the oil, try the tincture. So I could make it. I made it with organic vegetable glycerin, and we got it in Rita. And I started, like, I said, well, we're making it, so let's take it. And here we are. I mean, it just, she's off of everything, you know. It's just, it saved our life. I'm telling you, it saved our life.
Were you still on the medication when you started making the tincture?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And when you started taking the tincture, tell us how it made you feel and what sort of reaction your body had to it.
for me, I couldn't even tell that I had taken it, except I felt better. There was no, like, high of any kind. I felt better. My pain level was better. My anxiety that I had acquired thanks to their anxiety medicine and everything else was subsiding. It was like, I just felt, and I seen a change in Rita. When I seen the swelling start going down in her hands, when I seen that she was walking better, that's when I really seen it. When she said, "This is helping me," because, you know, it was, I mean, it just, I felt better. That's all I can say is that my pain levels and the medicine, it wasn't as bad, like, knowing that I was getting off of it, because it does a thing to your mind. You know, you think, I can't live without these pills, you know? I've been taking them for 8 years, for crying out loud.
Was it like the medicated fog was starting to lift?
Yes. I could see clearly. I could think clearer. When I was doing more research, I seen that I was remembering things better. And it just, life was improving immensely in every way. I mean, just relating to people was different.
How long did it take you to get off your 14 medications?
probably a year, if not a little bit longer. To completely, for everything to be gone.
Yeah, well, you know, some of those you've got to be so careful about when you go off of them. You've got to wean and go really, really slowly.
Well, you do. And Corey, you know, I don't mean to interrupt you, but now that you bring that up, that one point when they just, right when we was getting off, we had found a really good doctor that was just so, he was okay with the cannabis and everything. He said, they're starting to regulate the drugs now. And I was on two different drugs. I don't know if I can mention names of drugs or anything.
You can. Go ahead.
Okay, I was on a clozapam, which is for anxiety. And then there was a Flexeril, is with a really mild muscle relaxer. And it was like, you have to choose one of those. You can't have both of them because they both relax you. I'm like, are you crazy? I mean, they're nothing alike. He goes, I know, but that's what you got to do. Unfortunately, I chose the wrong one, okay? I chose to stay on the Flexeril, okay, because I just took it at night, and I thought I need to get off this anxiety medicine anyway. Well, Rita and I both chose to get off of that at the same time. Right, not a good decision. About 2 weeks into that, it was a nightmare. We were like crazy people. It was like, oh my God. And one day I was like, I know what it is. I know what is happening. It's that pill we quit taking.
Interesting.
And I looked it up and it said, you shouldn't stop taking this all of a sudden.
Well, you know, think of it this way. If you two can survive that, you can survive anything.
That's great.
Hello, and that is the truth. It's like, I know everybody that lived on that lagoon knew about it, because your anxiety goes, and you just tend to talk really loudly. So, yeah.
You took you a year to get off all medications. When you were off all medications, did you feel, you must have felt a heck of a lot better.
Oh, my God, yes, yes. In the very, you know, when it was all over, they were, you know, you felt like it was out of your system, and you just, yes. I mean, I was fishing again, we were camping, and we were just doing all kinds of things again, you know. When there for a while, you just, like, you were sitting around just waiting to die or something. Because they said you're, you know, well.
And you couldn't function anyway.
And you can't function anyway because, you know, you're too busy nodding off or, you know, going to sleep in the middle of a conversation somewhere. It's like, there's no life, you know.
No quality of life for sure.
No, there's not. And with the tincture, I mean, you don't even know that you're taking anything except you just feel better.
How much do you take of the tincture?
Probably, I probably take at least for me, I would think a couple of grams a day. We do the droppers. So the tincture as opposed to the oil, I've not really been able to weigh it out because it's something I did myself, you know, so I don't know what's even in it. I know what I make it out of, and I know that I take about 14 drops to 28 drops anywhere from 3 to 4 times a day.
3 to 4 times a day.
But you don't really have, sorry, Ann, you don't really have any idea what the cannabinoid profile is, what the level of THC or CBD, et cetera, isn't it?
You know, I don't, not yet.
You just know what works for you.
Right. I get it tested when I get back, and I'll find out what the amounts are and try to average how much we take a day for our issues and let you know on that.
That would be great.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it very easy for you to make the tincture?
You know, it is. It is. It's not that hard at all. You know, I've told people, I've tried to give them the recipe, and I had looked on there, and I've seen several different ways, and I just kind of put one way together. I just throw it in a mason jar, and you can Google so many recipes. It's amazing, and it's not hard at all. I mean, you can make it in 24 hours. You can have medicine.
So can you give just a basic description of what it is you do?
Oh yeah, sure could. Yeah, I just take and when I get whatever the cannabis is I want to use. Sometimes I use just all trims, and sometimes I put like all the flower and everything in. And I take and I just I kind of heat that in the oven for about that half an hour or so on a 200. And preferably with a lid on it to kind of hold the vapors in. And then when you pull it out, just kind of let it sit there and cool for about a half an hour. And then take and just kind of crumble it. You don't have to grind it real little. And just crumble it up. And you put it in a jar. And you got your vegetable glycerin. I order it online. It's a kosher vegetable glycerin. And depending on the amount, it averages out about an ounce of glycerin to a gram of cannabis. You take the first 2 hours, I do it in a crock pot, and that way you don't have to worry about it boiling or anything. And usually you can put your crock pot on even on high because it's really not going to boil. I usually set my little mason jar. I put like a little dish in there and then set the mason jar on that so it's not right on the crock in case the water does boil. That way it doesn't boil. Because you don't really want it to boil from what I've read to hold it in. And I keep the lid on the jar. I put a lid on it. And for the first 2 hours, about every 15 minutes, I shake it. And then I put it back in. Then I just leave it alone for anywhere from 10 to 20 hours. Then I take and I just strain it through. You can use cheesecloth or you can use a knee-high or coffee filters. I tried that. It didn't work out for me too well because they burst and then you got the flour everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if you just, the knee-high is the cheapest, easiest way to find it. And I try to sterilize everything, you know, before I get started, so everything's real, and keep your area real nice and sterilized. And you strain it, and you have your medicine within a couple of days.
Deb, take me back to the day 11 years ago when you went to the doctor and you were free of your follicular lymphoma and your bone cancer.
I was getting well. I didn't have cancer, but I still was sick. So what was wrong with that picture? If I didn't have cancer anymore, why was I still on 14 drugs?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Because I was over-medicated. I should not have been on that many drugs. It made me stupid to where I didn't realize my doctor was going to Hawaii every other month.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, hello. And actually brought me a shirt back.
Well, wasn't that nice?
And did he say thank you for the vacation?
No, she didn't.
Yeah. Do the doctors Are they more accepting of the use of marijuana, cannabis now than they were, say, 11 years ago?
I think they are. And as far as me personally, I've only seen one doctor in the last 3 years a couple of times. And that's the doctor I was telling you that was he agrees with the use. In fact, I even gave him some of my tincture to try and he really liked it. And he's old school and really into herbs and whatnot, but he still prescribes drugs. And that's the only doctor I've seen in 3 years. So I don't know how they feel about it.
Yeah, no, that's good. You're lucky you've got a good doctor.
Yeah, well, like I said, I haven't even seen him now for probably a year.
Well, the good thing is, Deb, you and Rita are off your medications. You're taking your cannabis tincture. You're cancer-free, and you have been for 11 years. 11 years ago this week, is it?
Yeah. It's how weird is that?
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you.
No, that's good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, Deb, one last question for you. What would you say to a cancer patient that's just freshly diagnosed? Any words of advice?
Yes, I would say do your own research. Find out, you know, all your options. And, you know, it's a personal thing. I mean, you've got to think it through and listen to what people are saying. Right now, I mean, personally, if my cancer were to come back, there would be no question that there would be no chemo, because of the research is saying 98% of it is not effective, and plus it will give you cancer. So I would say research is what I try to tell people, because people don't want to listen to each other sometimes, you know. It's like, so do your own research, and that way you can match what people are telling you, you know.
Yeah, make an educated decision on what your course of treatment is going to be.
Exactly, because then in the long run, the drugs are going to get you.
Yeah. Deb, thanks very much for doing this. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, Deb, we very, very, very much appreciate it.
And there you have it, another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.